Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your award-winning host, Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Max. You are in Boulder right now.
I am. I came to Boulder. You know, we were talking before the show. Today, we're going to have a great show, ladies. It's about finances and taxes and money. But before we get into that, Jess, you know, I came to Boulder. You know, the shooting was here not too long ago. Mm-hmm. 10 people went into the supermarket and they unfortunately were shot and killed just doing, you know, regular grocery shopping and going to work, you know, and there's such a sadness about what's happening in a community here in Boulder where love really is like, you know, the purpose and peace is really felt here. And I was thinking about it, Jess, like, you know, we're so blessed and so lucky to be able to go anywhere we want, whenever we want.
Yes.
You know,
I know.
And for people who we take it for granted, you know, we go into the supermarket, we go into the gym, we go wherever we want.
Yeah.
And these people all had the intentions to go in, get their groceries, leave. And unfortunately, they were shot and killed. So,
I know.
You know, it's very sad and I'm in a sad place, but I'm always happy to see you, Jess.
I know. Happy Monday, Max.
Happy Monday.
I know. Oh.
Taxes.
I know. That's why when I posted my picture yesterday on Instagram, the Polished Woman, I was like, can we just be happy? Even if I know people are suffering, people are, you know, stressed with the tax and everything. And of course, the COVID. And of course, you know, the one that happened in Boulder. Can we just be happy? I know. Just every moment, just, you know, treasure every moment and just feel happiness because we're alive, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, taxes, Max. I mean, this is one thing. Every April, I get anxiety about the taxes because, you know, you have to be right. You have to be, you know, that's why I want to learn, you know, from my guest for today. Do we have to be on time? Now, at least they gave us another month of...
There's an extension.
An extension. Oh, my gosh. Because nowadays we don't really know like what to file, you know, now that you didn't have any income and stuff, but then you got the stimulus, you know, for other people, I didn't, but for other people, they did. So, I mean, that's a good.
But, you know, Jess, you've been doing your finances for quite a long time, you know, and you also, you have your own company, you have, you do your finances. Now, do you think that this is going to be an interesting question? Mm-hmm. Do you think that women are better with money or men are better with money when it comes to the family and in the household?
I think it really depends.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
what do you prefer?
I'd rather me. I'd rather women.
And why? Right? Why? Tell me why.
Okay. You know, like how there's the five things that men cannot live without and the five things that women cannot live without. One thing about women, we're always, you know, we love security, finances. We're like into that. That's very important for us women. But then again, we also have a soft heart. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why I think, you know, we always think of our children, the children of our children, our grandchildren, and all. We want to be secured with our future. You know, I don't want to get old and then, you know, ask money for my children. That's not good.
I mean, but you know, what I find interesting, Jess, too, is that, you know, you manage your money well, you know, you know how to manage your money.
Yeah.
And, but do you know how to file taxes?
Yes, I have a very good accountant. So I think.
So you have an accountant, but if you had to do it on your own, would you know how to do it?
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. So it's okay to ask for help. I think that's what I'm trying to get to. And that's what the point of today's show is that we don't always know the answers. And that's why, you know, Maya Angelou teaches when we know better, we do better. And when we learn, teach. So it's like perfect to learn how women who are struggling with finances, with taxes, with COVID taxes can figure out ways to really maximize and understand finances and taxes. But before we get into the show, Jess, you look so beautiful.
I do? Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you.
Your skin looks so good. What are you doing?
I don't know. Just a bunch of like stuff that I need to try. Well, you know, Max, we are launching our own moisturizer. So I've been trying and testing and stuff, you know, with the best ingredients that we can put on our moisturizer.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know what? Before we get into the show, we need to let our viewers know that today is our last live show. We're going to take an Easter break.
Oh, you're
going
that's right.
On for Easter. Yeah. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about spring and summer favorite things.
Yes, spring and summer favorite things. And we're going to have a very special guest that will talk about, you know, marketing your business and stuff and a lot more. So, yeah, we have two Mondays of spring break. So we're just going to do a replay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a break once in a while.
You know, it's all part of being the polished woman.
Yeah.
You know, and a break doesn't mean that, you know, it's break and we're not doing anything. It's self-care, it's self-worth, it's self-compassion. Yes. Yes. And it's taking care of ourselves so that we can then be here for all of our viewers.
Yeah. And of course, I want, you know, Max, I'm very religious and prayerful. You know, I want to reflect and remember, you know, how...
Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday, how, you know, Christ came to the earth and then he died. And then, so I'm fasting the whole week. No dessert for me.
Well, you know what, Jess? I'm going to let you get onto the show. I'm going to go back in the control room. Ladies, stay tuned. If you don't know about finances, taxes, how to file them, today is the show.
Yes.
Jess, take it away.
Thank you, Max. Money is the opposite of the weather. Nobody talks about it, but everybody does something about it. Oh my God, this is so, Rebecca Johnson. This is so true. So over the course of the last year, many of us have started to view money in a different way. Maybe you had to adjust your budget, of course, or maybe you had to learn how to budget, finally. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe you suddenly found yourself, you know, working extra hours and actually making more money. A lot of, actually, women made money this COVID. And a lot of also, you know, lost money. So maybe you had just started a business and were balancing ways to get supplies or find new clients. Whatever your specific circumstances were the one thing that was true for all of us was there was no manual, no guide. And so some people were left feeling stuck about what to do. Sadly, the pandemic isn't over yet. And as more people are beginning to receive stimulus checks, now's a good time to start talking about money and taxes. So I invited today two incredible women, an award-winning financial counselor, Crystal Nixon, and one of her former clients, economic developer and law student, Lauren Strickland. Hi, guys. Hi, ladies. Hello. Please. Welcome to the Polished Woman. I have two of them at the same time.
Yes.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. Yeah. How are you?
Look at how cute their background is. And that's Crystal.
Right. That's custom. Coach
Crystal, introduce yourself.
I am Coach Crystal Nixon. I am an accountant by trade, a former tax law instructor, and a certified financial social worker.
And Lauren?
Yes, so I'm Lauren Strickland. I am an economic developer in the city of Detroit. I'm a single mother and a law student.
Hey, thank you so much for coming to our show. You know, Crystal, Lauren, whenever we have a guest as an expert here on the show, I always look at their background. I always look at their expertise and their life story. I always love, you know, life story, you know, not just because, you know, you're an expert, you're intellectual, you're smart and everything, and you graduated here and there that you become an expert. I'm more of like, I became where I am right now. It's because of my past. And so can you just tell us a little bit about your story? I love, share your story, please. And how you, you know, became, how you came into this business. You just want to help. That's what it is, because you went through that. So absolutely. Can you share a little bit of your story?
Well, legend has it that I grew up in poverty, not unlike a lot of people from where I'm from. And I eventually ended up homeless when I was 21. My mom passed away, and she was like the matriarch, the breadwinner, the person who took care of the family. And she had a heart attack and died suddenly. And so that left me displaced or homeless for about 2 years. And so when I did eventually start to get back on my feet, I decided to go into the financial realm in order to never be broke again. So I knew so little about money and finance that I thought being an accountant would be the key to me not being broke again. When you are an accountant, you count other people's money and you tell them where it's supposed to be and why it's there. So that's how little I knew about money and finances. I thought becoming an accountant would ensure me that I had the tools that I needed to be financially well off, which was not the case. But during that time, after getting my degree and getting my feet wet, I started working with the IRS as volunteer income tax program.
Oh, so you volunteered. That's cool.
So we volunteered and we prepared tax returns for low income, disabled, and other individuals who met the income requirements, because it was meant to be a low income program. And then I eventually started teaching tax law all over the state of Michigan. And then I became a financial counselor, and I started helping people like budgeting and fixing their credit. And I began to realize that the tips that you hear from your regular financial pundits, like save more money and get a job that pays more money and pay your bills on time, were so generic and they didn't apply to real people. And so I started searching for another way for me to become educated, I guess, holistically. And so that's when I found the Center for Financial Social Work in St. Louis at Washington University, headed by Rita Wolfson, Dr. Rita Wolfson. And that's how I became a certified financial social worker. And so after I became that, I was able to counsel people who had gambling addictions, shopping addictions, who came into a lot of money, maybe by winning the lottery or something, and maybe they lived in poverty previously. You know, we hear the stories about people winning the lottery and being broke within 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
Yes. And
the reasoning is not because they're terrible with money or because they don't know anything. It's because they still have the same mindset they had before they won the money. It doesn't, your mindset doesn't change. So anyway, I counsel people like that. And I began to take a holistic approach to financial counseling. And I'm researching right now financial trauma and the role it plays in the way we deal with our money.
What does it mean? Can you explain a little bit about financial trauma?
Financial trauma is a variation of trauma that happens on the financial front. So let's say, like I said, I was raised in poverty. Mm-hmm. If I happened to marry a man who was raised in a middle American household, who had two working parents and was able to go on vacation every year, we obviously would definitely have some issues bumping heads on finances, because I come from, please hoard your money because you don't know if you're going to be homeless tomorrow. And my partner may come from, money is able to be made and spent, and that's what it's for, and that's what we should do. So things like that. I do also counsel couples who are going into marriage financially, about their finances.
Yeah, that's always like a main problem, right?
Absolutely.
For couples, all the time, it's like finances. Lauren, how about you? Can you tell us a little bit of about your story?
Yeah. So I've had a pretty... I'll say my story is it's ongoing, but I graduated from Michigan. Yeah, so I graduated from Michigan State University in 2010, and at that time, you couldn't find a job to save your life unless you were maybe in the healthcare field or engineering.
Yeah,
and so a lot of college students my age, we were just like in a frenzy trying to figure out where am I going to work, right?
Yeah.
So I ended up, working at the mall, staying kind of near school, and my parents, I do come from that middle America, background, and My parents were paying my rent. I was working at the mall and life was good. Until I said, okay, I need to get an adult job here. So I was applying everywhere and I could not find a job. None of my friends could find a job. I'm like, what is going on? I called a friend of mine who was in school on the East Coast. Nobody had a real, what we would call a real job. And eventually, my cousin actually got me into a job in the mortgage industry. It was just as the banks were bailing out, being bailed out. And so we were helping folks with their refinancing. And so I became good at that, but I'm never one to just sit still. So I'm working with the public, you know, figuring out how to get them from out of, basically from underwater. And then I'm just walking around the building, right? Like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? Who are you? And so I'm like, hey, I'm interested in compliance. I'm interested in legal. And then from there, I went on to go to a law firm dealing with commercial real estate. And at that time, I didn't realize how my experiences were just being compounded and what really what my worth professionally was, right? And so I'm like, wow, I'm really getting this, you know, great experience at this, you know, huge law firm. And then I got pregnant.
Yeah, you were a single working mom.
And so I had to take a break. And I did. And actually, my son's dad, he's an attorney. And so at the time when we were together, I took a break and, you know, just focused on my son. And then we broke up, right? And so that whole fairy tale of what I thought was going to be a fairy tale didn't happen, but that's okay. And so I, you know, just kept going. I even took a job as a substitute teacher. And the funny thing is that job turned into a sort of semi-permanent position where I taught history, which I love. I love kids. And I love teaching. But sort of that business and legal thing just never could, I never could shake it. I helped my dad run his boxing gym when he had it. And so just being in business and, you know, dealing with contracts and in that fast, like, sort of realm just never left. And then I just, you know, I kept going. I got a job with the city of Detroit. And again, I just kept walking around the
That's how it building. Started.
Yeah, and saying, what do you do? What department are you in? Hey, I'm Lauren. And then, you know, I ended up moving into a position. And the rest was history. And now it's like, I have my career. I love it. I love what I do. I love
That's amazing.
Businesses and, you know, with their expansion and things like that. So,
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Lauren. So, Crystal, let's go to the taxes now. Okay, tell us about, okay, now we found out that you can extend, right? There's an extension for the taxes till, I think, May 15, right? Now,
May 17. Yes,
ma'am. Can you really wait until May 17, or it's better? They're saying, they're still saying that, you know what, still file, file on the 15th. But when should we really file?
So, one thing I do want to get out right now ahead of time is that a lot of people who tend to owe or get a very small refund tend to think the later they file, the better. They put it off because they know they're going to owe. I'm not going to file early because they're going to be on my back. So whether or not you file your taxes on January 30th or May 17th, you are going to be owing. If you're going to be owing, you're going to owe on May 17th. So if I filed my taxes February 1st, they're due on May 17th. If I file my taxes May 17th, they are due on May 17th. There is no lag. There is no reason to wait until the end of tax season to file because you're going to owe the same amount of money on the same day regardless to when you file. And if you file too late and you don't pay while you file, you will accumulate interest and fees along with what you originally owe.
So, do you, for the people who have who received the stimulus check, are they going to file for tax for that?
Yes. So the question, your question is yes and no. Okay. If you did not receive one or both of your stimulus payments that initially went out in 2020, when you file your 2021 return, they will automatically be added onto whatever refund you have. Now, if you don't have a refund and you owe, let's say you owe $1,000 and you didn't receive the last stimulus of $600 in 2020, then you will owe $400 because you'll get that recovery rebate credit of $600 for you to claim the stimulus that you didn't get in 2020.
What does that mean, the recovery
rebate credit? That is what the official name is for the stimulus credit that you get on your taxes if you didn't get it in 2020.
So it's not free money.
It is free money. The only reason you're claiming it on your tax return is to make sure that you did get it. Because if you didn't get it, they want you to have it. Yeah, so you're not being taxed on your stimulus money. It's not a part of your adjusted gross income or your taxable income. And so if you have already filed your taxes, for anybody watching or listening, and you file a form 1040, look on the second page on line 30. You will see the recovery rebate credit. If you didn't get a stimulus, you should have a number there. If you didn't get a stimulus and you do not have a number there, check your income because you may have made too much money. And if your income is not the issue, then you might want to contact the person who does your taxes or contact the IRS to see how you can claim your credit.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, ladies, I hope you hear this and take note, right? Okay, now I have another question because I know some women who are actually working, and some of them are, you know, just have a little small business. They file, instead of filing for personal, they file an LLC, but it's also under their name. Is that better than filing for, for a personal?
Most small businesses or micro business, like I like to call my business a micro business. We file a Schedule C on our personal taxes. The Schedule C is where you put all of your business income and losses, all of your write-offs and everything like that. If you are somebody who has a small business and you have started making over $100,000 to $200,000 a year, I would, implore you to maybe file a separate tax return. Or you can still file it. You can always file your own business on your personal tax returns. But then, you know, there's a thin line when that money starts being owed from that business, because when you are self-employed, you have to pay self-employment taxes on your income. And the self-employment tax is 15.3% of whatever you made for that year, the tax year. So if you put your business on your personal return, and let's say your spouse makes a lot of money, those deductions from that business will calculate, and it could, you know, take down your tax liability or even give you a refund. But if you get into the space where you're making so much money and you owe 15.3% on $100,000, which is $15,000, you might not want to meld those tax returns together because it's going to be more tax liability for you.
Oh, wow. Lauren, have you filed your taxes for 2020?
For 2020. So yes, I've already done that. Waiting on hopefully the
cheddar,
the money.
The choke, the cheese, the chicken.
It's pretty straightforward. Crystal is amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know.
Did you have any trouble filing this year, though?
No. Everything with me is pretty straightforward. No issues. Everything has been
That's smooth. Because she's best friends with somebody who is a Texan.
It helps to be a call away, right?
Wait, Lauren, another question for you. What made you ask help from Crystal?
Well, because she's an expert. No. And you know what? So in our friend circle, we leverage each other. It's nothing wrong with that. We have to help each other out, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're friends with somebody that their whole life, they're an accountant, they're a tax expert, they understand all of that, why not leverage that? You know, if she has a question about business and expansion and
law. I've called her literally and been like, my friends, cousins,
only things that I know in a textbook because I am not authorized to practice law.
Right. She has to say that because she's still in law school. But I've called her and I've been like, my friends, hairdresser.
I can say, hey, well, you know, or if it's a legal question, hey, let me refer you to somebody in my network. Yeah, and that's very, very important to just, you know, embrace your network. It's nothing wrong with that. We're not using each other. We're embracing each other.
Oh, that's good. Crystal, is it, this is another good question. Is it better to file, you know, like how there's filing, instead of like a yearly, you do it quarterly. Is that like a little bit better than filing it like on a full, you know, like after like a year?
Well, usually people who file quarterly are people who have to pay estimated tax payments. And so you end up paying estimated tax payments if your tax liability is so egregious that the IRS is like, you should have been paying this all year before now because you owe us $27,000 and that's a lot of money. So what happens is they give you these coupons and they usually print out with whatever tax software you use, or your accountant will have them printed out for you. Yeah. And they're little coupons that you mail in on April 15th, on June 15th, on September 15th, and on January 15th of the following year. And you're paying estimated taxes quarterly. And I do recommend anybody who often has a huge tax liability to begin to pay estimated tax payments. Although I shouldn't have to recommend, because the IRS has probably already sent you a letter telling you that you need to do.
What does that mean? Estimated
tax payment.
Tax credit. They're
just asking you to pay taxes ahead of time so that when you do file your taxes, you won't have a $30,000 bill.
Okay.
So if you start paying now in 2021, $700 every quarter, then next year when you file your taxes, you won't owe $10,000, you'll owe $7,200.
Yeah. So it's like some sort of like a payment plan, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, now let's educate more women. Let's educate them more on the tax, you know, like how to really file taxes. What are the what are the things that you can file for and for the business? You know, like this is for your personal.
Okay.
Yeah, like separate, you know, yeah.
So personally, when you file taxes, if you're a single mom or if you're somebody who is under the income threshold, and I'm going to use $50,000 as a marker.
Yes.
On your regular tax return, if you have dependents, children, if you take care of a parent, an aging parent, I don't know if many people know this, but if I'm sitting here and I live in Lawrence, luxurious home, and my parents live over across town, and I still help take care of them, even though they receive Social Security, I can claim them as a dependent on my tax return if I can prove that I am helping them out financially. So you can get a credit for taking care of your parents. And a lot of us are at that age, I'm in my 40s, where you are beginning to take care of aging parents. And that becomes, you know, you're taking care of teenagers or kids in college, and then you have aging parents on this side, and then you have yourself. So credits for dependents, definitely for individuals. You want to do school credits if anybody is in school, the American Opportunity Credit or the Lifetime Learning Credit. The tuition and fees deduction is no longer in effect since 2017.
But for private school, it doesn't affect, right?
No, not at all. What else did you claim?
How about a business? Like, for example, using your home as a business, can you use that for paying?
Yes, but you cannot use it personally. That is one of the most asked questions.
Now you work from home.
Everybody works from home right now. And so earlier.
So do you file that for your personal, or you can file it for the business?
You file it for a business only. Earlier this year, we were in a seminar with the IRS, and they were toying with the idea of allowing people who are working from home a credit. And it never came to fruition, and it is still only available for businesses. So like before 2017, there was a loophole where you could kind of write off employee business expenses, and that would include a portion of your home that is used for an office, and that was only to taxpayers who itemized. So okay. Versus taking the standard deduction, people who wrote off mortgage insurance, property taxes, medical bills and expenses, things like that, they could write that off. But after the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017, that loophole is gone and no one can write off a home office expense except for self-employed individuals.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. How about car insurance?
All of those things, as far as your business are, you can write them off. Whenever I do seminars, especially for people in college or I always try to make sure to tell them that I'm a leaser. I lease my vehicles. And the reason I lease my vehicles, because people always say, you know, it's cheaper to buy and you shouldn't lease and blah, blah, blah.
So it's better to lease, right?
I lease them because it's 100% written off. I write off my car every year.
That's
so
what
I have
my
a free car.
Said,
I do not pay it. I could pay a car note every month, but at the end of the year, I get a deduction so big that it's more than my car note was. So I still lease. I'm looking to buy later on, but I'm going to lease as long as it's beneficial for me.
So it's better to, so every time you lease, that's deductible.
Yes, if you own a business.
You if
can't
you
deduct
own a business.
Lease payment. Yeah, you can't deduct them regularly on your personal tax return.
Wow.
You have to deduct them on your business return.
But Lauren, do you own a business or you're still in school?
No, so right now I'm still in school and I'm, you know, working, but not yet, but that's...
I keep pressuring her. That's what she always said. I keep like, go ahead, do it. But it's a big decision. It's such a huge undertaking.
It's a lot, especially being a single parent. A lot of things that you have to weigh, especially when it comes to...
So you're a student, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm a student and I work full-time as an economic
developer. Do you get any financial... what do you call this?
Financial aid?
Help or... Help with filing taxes or anything? What as a student, what do you, you know, like, do you have, that's another question. Are there ways of like paying later on? I mean, do you have to pay now? Are you owing anything from the, you know, what do you call that? Max, the tuitions?
Oh, you borrow? Absolutely. So for me, I do, and you know, now that I'm a truly a non-traditional student because I work full time, I have some loans and then I pay out of pocket the rest of my tuition. So, I'm finding that to be a pain up front, but in the long run, I think it'll help a lot more because I won't have so much interest built up. I mean, I already have loans from undergrad. And so now to take on other loans, when you're older and you go back to school, you become a little bit more savvy.
Yeah.
When you have a friend who is a financial social worker, you become very savvy about how much to borrow, how much not to borrow. I mean, I'm doing pretty okay. So, hey, let me try to pay this and borrow this. I'm just sort of weighing it and trying to balance it off.
Oh, that's really good to know also for people. Like my siblings, they're still paying their student loan.
I'm still
It is a lot.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the cost of education is absolutely insane. It is insane, but
it's needed.
It's a necessity. And what do they say? It pays the cost to be the boss. Is that what they say?
That's it. That's on
that. It's like you got to pay into this. So, unfortunately.
And then Lauren, on her taxes, does qualify for the lifetime learning credit. So American Opportunity Credit is the college credit you get for when you or your children or somebody who is one of your dependents, they get a $25 credit from adjusted gross income. So that means it reduces your tax liability by $2,500. And then if you have zero tax liability after that, 40% of that credit is refundable. So you'll get it in a refund. As far as the lifetime learning credit, it's only $2,000, but it poses the same thing except for it's not refundable. So it just reduces your taxable income. It reduces your tax bill.
Oh, wow. So this is so good, Max. Yeah. Lauren, what advice can you give some of our single moms that are listening right now?
you know,
on filing taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just don't let being a single mom bog you down. You know, you have to
keep
it moving. When it comes to your finances, make a plan. I think a lot of single moms would get into this rut, like, how am I supposed to do all of this by myself? And you come to this realization, like, I'm doing a two-person, you know, job alone, but it's okay. Create a plan, and even if you have to go inch by inch, you know, and there are resources out there to help. We're having this podcast today on this topic, and I hope that it helps, you know, other women.
Yeah. How did you find your resources?
Oh man. So again, it's just a network. I mean, you know, choose your friends wisely.
Yeah. That's true.
You know,
that is true.
Make sure that you have a village, because it truly helps. And that's for everybody, whether you're a single woman or not. Just women should just empower women.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I would like to add, though, that if you do have friends who are single moms or out here trying to do 50-11 things by themselves, offer your help. It is okay, sisters, to offer each other help. We don't want us out here with our backsides out. Or my mom used to say, your ASS is showing, Crystal, whenever my stuff wasn't together.
Yeah. So
I don't have friends out here with their ASS is showing if I have the ability to help them cover it. And I don't want mine to be showing if my friend has the ability to help me cover mine. So if you do have friends who are out here doing the job of 50 people by themselves, please, by all means, try to offer your help.
She lets me know, like, and I'm like, is this normal? She's like, no, it's not normal.
It's not normal.
This is not normal. But it's okay.
It's okay. We gonna make it. We gonna make it. As long as you got a good circle and the people around you.
Support, it'll happen. Wait, we have a Twitter question. What is that, Max? What is the one thing that we should do right now to set filing our taxes?
What do we need to do right now as far as to prepare to file or?
Yeah, jump in, Max. It's a Twitter question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hi, ladies. Great show, by the way. So we have a great Twitter question, and the Twitter question is, what is the one thing we should do right now to start filing our taxes? Start filing them.
What you need to do right now is to make sure you have all of your necessary paperwork already. All of those documents that they mail to you every year from your jobs, from your bank accounts, from interest, from your retirement accounts, from pulling out money, which there's a credit for that this year because of the coronavirus relief. If somebody will remind me, I'll talk about it before we're done. But just make sure you have all of your tax papers together and make sure you have your list of questions ready for the person who does prepare your taxes. But also, like I said, don't be afraid to file now if you think you're going to owe, because the money's going to be due at the same time, no matter when you file.
Wait, Crystal, how many credits are being given this year?
For different credits? Like that are not regular because of coronavirus?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Now, I don't know. And I will say I don't know because there are so many. But there's a credit. Of course, we heard about
just the a sample.
That excludes the first $10,200 of your unemployment benefits that you receive from being taxable. So we have that. And so what happened with me and my firm is everyone was getting their taxes prepared and then they changed the tax law in the middle of the tax season. And so then we have to go through and adjust everybody's tax return. And the IRS now owes millions of people additional refunds because of the reduction in the taxable unemployment amount. We also have a credit now for, it's a waiver of the additional penalty from withdrawing from your retirement account early if you don't have a regular distribution. So what happens is instead of paying that penalty now, you have to pay it over the next three tax years in increments. So at first we thought it was forgiven, like, oh, you don't have a penalty, but you do. You just don't have to pay it this year, but you will have to pay it over the three next tax seasons.
Oh, wait, I want to ask this. So a lot of, well, people I know that have businesses, they, what do you call that? They borrowed for their, what is that? They Is it an EDD? They borrowed for their business. PPE.
What's that? Oh, the PPP loan.
Yeah, the PPP loan, right? Yeah. And they said, oh, we don't have to pay for this, like, you know, till later or whatever, or it's, we don't have to pay for, is that for real?
Do you have to
pay for you don't?
I'm
yeah?
We have the six-year-old over here. And he's having a meltdown?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, no. It's all right, because six-year-olds have
meltdowns. Okay. It's okay. You're a single mom. It's fine. Yeah. So
this is real life, y'all. Y'all in the middle.
No, this is real life. Hello. Yeah.
Okay, so,
I mean, yeah, with the PPP.
The PPP loans, yeah. As far as that, I know a lot of people were applying for those and trying to get the funds for those, and they have opened up a second round of the loans, and the loans are still 100% forgivable. Okay. There's a process that you would go through, and if you go to go through to have your loan forgiven, so whether or not your loan was $1,000 or $25,000, it still has the possibility of being forgiven completely.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes.
We should have done this, Max.
Right? Hey, Crystal, we have an interesting question, and I don't really understand it. So basically, the way that it's reading is that the person has health care from, I guess, Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to figure out if they have to file taxes in order to keep their health care for this year. That's what they're saying. I don't really know much more.
If they need to file taxes anyway, of course, then of course, file your taxes. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then what the person may be talking about is the premium tax credit.
Okay.
So what happens is when you purchase health insurance through the marketplace, it gives you a subsidy called a premium tax credit, and it gives you an advance of that throughout the year. So versus paying $500 for insurance, you might have to pay $300. They're giving you a $200 credit every month. At the end of the year or the beginning of the following year, when you file your taxes, you have to reconcile that credit on your tax return. And whatever they didn't give you, you get paid out in a refund. And if they paid you too much, they deduct it from whatever your refund is, or they add it to your tax liability that you would owe. So if you only need to file in order to keep your insurance, I would say file, because you may be owed a premium tax credit. And the IRS, along with changing the unemployment, they changed the premium tax credit too. So if you end up owing from the credit, then it won't count this year. So you may want to file just in case. And then you can ask whoever it is that does your taxes, or call the IRS if you do your own, to ask them, you know, what are the next steps if you don't have to pay? Do you really have to file? I would suggest you file. I always suggest people file in order to get their stimulus payments. If only for that reason, please file your taxes.
Yeah, that's for true. Yeah, you know, I've heard about that. Just file and file. Why, you know?
I had a client call me today, and she was saying that she's divorced. Their divorce was final last year. And I did the calculations for her, and we talked for 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes, we found out that her ex-husband has received $11,700 in stimulus payments for her children, and himself. And she didn't know anything about it. She hasn't received one dime. So it's happening. Guys, be prepared. And by guys, I mean women who are watching this podcast. Please be prepared. Please know your numbers. Know what you are due, and make sure they're going into the right account. You can check your stimulus payment. You can check whether or not you're getting one, or when it's coming on the IRS's website. You just go to the irs.gov and click on Get My Payment, and they'll let you know. But it's happening where if you separated or if you divorced and you filed a return with somebody, that person who was on the top of the return in that bank account is the bank account that's receiving all of your stimulus payments. And so if you go to the IRS and say, I haven't gotten a payment, they'll say, yes, you did on April 19th, 2020, and you got it for $4,200. And she's like, no, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
But it went into her husband's account. So,
FYI,
it's happening. And it's happening a lot.
Sure.
She's the only person.
Wow. Yeah. So she got the credit of the husband, but it went to the husband.
Yes. And they have children. So imagine this $1,400 stimulus for somebody who's just divorced with two small children.
Yeah. How do you fix that? Do you need an accountant to?
Yeah. We have to. Yeah. We're going to go in, and I'm going to file the petition with the IRS, and we're going to try to get her money paid. Yeah. And then after everything is straightened out, they will go and try to prosecute whoever it is who received the funds fraudulently, which technically it's not fraudulent.
What?
Not against the law. They were married.
But how much does it cost to, like, you know, to fix these things?
It shouldn't cost you anything. If you do it yourself, it might take longer versus using somebody who knows the tax law and knows how to navigate the system. But it shouldn't cost you one dime. If somebody is trying to charge you outside of an accountant to do it, don't pay them.
Wow, this is a great question. This is a great question. How much do you pay an accountant? What is, like, the fee for an accountant?
So my fee start at $7 million an hour. So if you're looking for an accountant, I am available. And I just want you to know. Okay. There we go. Accountants, their rates vary. I know I work with a particular group of people. I'm looking for my girls who are struggling. I'm looking for the girls who are trying to be something more and keep wanting to make things of themselves and keep growing and doing different things. I'm looking for my business owners. So when I do offer my services, they are very, 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 very reduced. Reasonable. But the average for an accountant to hire them to do something for you starts at about $75 an hour.
Okay, that's not bad. That's
That's
good. This is like crazy. We're already like done. We have like 2 minutes. Great. Okay. Fast. Why do we need an accountant?
Oh my gosh, you need an accountant because you don't know everything. I need a lawyer because I don't know the law, but I know the tax law. You need an accountant because you not only want to know that you have money and how much money you have, you want to know where it is, why it's there, and if it's ever going to not be there.
Okay, thank you so much. Lauren, final advice, Lauren?
Oh, just keep
for single moms?
Yeah, keep moving and keep going, girl. You can do this. I mean, I know it's cliche, but to just hear it, you got this.
You got it.
Thank you. And how about Crystal? Where can they find you?
Oh, listen. Y'all can find me at the nearest Lane Bryant, honey, the nearest Turret, the Macy's Plus Size Department. But if you want to find me for business reasons, you can go to www.mycoachcrystal.com, MYCOACHCRYSTAL.com. My Facebook community be popping. I'm My Coach Crystal on Facebook, too. It'll just say Coach Crystal, and you'll see this image in the background. Wherever you see me, you know you found me when you see her in her big glasses. And also, I'm on Twitter, but I'm not very active on Twitter because you have to be snarky, and I'm not so snarky.
Thank you so much. I love them. I love you guys.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it so much.
I appreciate you. And, you know, thank you. I appreciate you. And thank you for all your advice. Okay.
Thank you so much, Miss Jessica. Bye, Lauren.
Bye. Oh my gosh. I hope that, you know, everyone, you know, got the right advice, got some great information. Thank you. Get comfortable talking about money. It shouldn't be a taboo subject. Okay. If you need help, just ask and get an accountant. She's a very good one. Oh my gosh. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Crystal, thank you. Coach Crystal, find her. Thank you so much. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. And we will see you on April. What is that, Max? April 19. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you all. Bye. Happy Passover. Oh my gosh. That's right. Love you all. Thank you.
Through faith.